Jesus in Luke chapter 20, I believe, he used a coin in order to teach a truth. So I'm going to start this morning with the coin that I hope will set the framework for what I'm about to say. I'm not sure I've heard this saying lately, but when I grew up in Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania, it was a common phrase to say, there are two sides to every coin. And I have a 50-cent piece here. We don't use these anymore. And indeed, there are two sides of this coin. John Kennedy's on one side, and the eagle, which is a symbol of our nation, is on the other side. So with that framework in mind, I want us to look at a scripture, and that scripture will be the object. That's what the idea is, that there are two sides to every coin. The coin is the object. But what you do is you look at both sides of the coin, and there is variation in that coin. And so I'd like to begin with Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want you to think of this verse as the figurative coin. It is the object of this study. But there are two sides, as there are on a coin. There's always two sides. And sometimes these sides are opposing one another, which is, I think, is how it's often used, at least it was when I was growing up. When someone would say there are two sides to every coin, you would have this side of the coin. Someone else would say, no, wait a minute, there are two sides to every coin. And so it would be in opposition. So first side I want us to consider is Romans chapter 14. Turn to Romans chapter 14. This is the chapter that we often look to as the chapter that we would consider on how to resolve opinion or what we should do with opinion or judgment. And I believe that the true message, the essence of this chapter, we can read in verses 17 through 19. 17 through 19 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And I think that's probably the essence of what Romans 14 is teaching. We need to be, on matters of opinion and judgment, we need to do what we can do to pursue peace. That's what I believe that Paul wants us to do when we read that chapter. We need to deny ourselves in cases of opinion. And we need to take up our own cross. That is, what is our responsibility to the issue at hand? And we need to follow Jesus. And in the case of judgment or opinion, what we need to do is try and pursue that path of peace. And I think we have an example of that. In fact, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. This is one that's well known to us. It has to do with Abraham and his nephew Lot. And I'd like us to read just the very first 13 verses. Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, who had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's five stock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now, I'm not going to get into whether Lot's judgment was good or bad, because we all know the story of that. But my point in this is that a difference arose between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. Now, we're in the patriarchal era when we read this. I really believe that Abram could have exercised his patriarchal authority, and he could have insisted or demanded that he go one way, and Lot would have had to abide by what Abram said. But what did Abram do? He denied himself. And he yielded to Lot. He pursued peace in a matter that was judgment. And this was a personal decision on Abram's part. And so Abram said, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. In matters like this, we are serving Christ by following the example of Abram in matters of judgment. We need to pursue the path of peace. And in doing so, we can avoid friction, we can avoid distress, and we can lower the stress in our own lives. And really, I think that's what Paul wants us to do in these matters of judgment or opinion. He wants us always to consider peace first. Peace first. Can we live with this matter of opinion or in judgment? And we need to ask ourselves, am I being stubborn, or am I really interested in pursuing the peace that we need to have as a group, as individuals? But this is only one side of Luke 9:23, which is our figurative coin here. That is the object. You know, for example, just to tell you what I mean by that, the sun is one object, okay? But there are two sides to the sun. Some people will say that the rays will cause melanoma or cancer, and that's one side. But other people will say, well, no, wait a minute, the sun gives us heat, it gives us warmth, it's good for me, and so I want, you know, to sit, to go out into the sun. That's two sides of the same object. That's really what we're looking at. And there are two sides, I think, to what Jesus said. Deny yourself, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Again, I think this is a scripture, an incident that's well known to all of us. But I'm going to read from verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're talking about. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. A little later the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I did not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went away, and he wept bitterly. Peter three times denied the Lord. Peter took a path, his cross, that rejected the Savior because of the influence of other people on him. He didn't want to take a stand for Jesus. He personally took up a cross that denied Jesus. He was not ready to follow Jesus and accept the consequences. And when it dawned on him, when he heard the rooster crow, he wept bitterly. This is the other side of that figurative coin that I'm talking about in Luke 9:23. We need to resist the temptation to take the easy way out when it comes down to matters of faith, matters that mean something as a Christian, we need to not look at what brings us personal peace and less distress when the issue is not a matter of judgment, but a matter of applying God's will to our lives. Taking up our cross and denying ourselves and following Jesus, it's going to require sacrifice at times. It's going to require courage. It's going to require conviction. As Christians, our effort in serving God's will means we do not seek the approval of men in order to avoid confrontations, but we seek the approval of our Lord and Savior. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be mean and ugly when we take up our cross and stand for truth with Jesus Christ. We need to be sure that we do it in such a way that is gentle and kind but firm. This is the point I think John was making when he penned these words in John chapter 12. Turn with me there and let's read John chapter 12 verses 42 and 43. John chapter 12 verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, let's go back and... Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, that is Jesus. Many of the rulers believed in Jesus at this point. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Seeking man's approval rather than God's will indeed may incline us to seek a path that is profitable for us personally. But that's not what the Lord wants. When he says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, he's saying there are times that we need to deny our own personal wants and needs or our own personal desires. It's not easy. It takes effort. And it takes conviction. But it's what the Lord wants us to do. And too often I think we may be influenced by the world round about us. I know it happens to me. You know, you get influenced by the world round about you. You've got neighbors that you really like. You appreciate them. And a discussion may come up. And rather than standing up for Jesus, rather than taking your cross, rather than denying ourselves, what we want to do is avoid the tension and the friction. And so, I believe in cases like that, we are seeking the approval of men. We want them to like us rather than stand up and teach the words of Jesus. You know, seeking man's approval is not really the essence of this verse. That's not the two sides of this verse. When you look at both sides, it's interesting that Peter did deny himself, and ironically, he did it again. In Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 13, we find Peter once again yielding to the influence of those around him and pursuing a path that pleased man and not God. Let's just read these verses. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. But when Cephas, this is Jesus, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Now, Paul could have remained silent. Paul could have not said a word to Peter. It would have been easy to do, I think. But Paul contended for the truth in this case. He rejected the temptation to take the easy way out for himself He rejected that. He rejected avoiding the consequences of standing up for the truth. Now, do you think it was easy for Paul to do that? I mean, really, we don't know. But I guess it wasn't easy for Paul to stand up like that. And to face these folks and to face Peter and say, "You're wrong. This is not the right thing to do. We do not seek the approval of men. What we seek is God's will." And Peter knew this. When you go back and read Acts chapter 15, you come to understand Peter understood this. Peter had gone through it once. But he was influenced. He was in a circumstance, in a situation, that he may have found it easier to go another direction. And Paul said, "No, that's not what we need to do." I do know that Peter did learn his lesson, though. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't want to leave Peter hanging out there. So you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 13 through 15. "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?" It's a question that Peter's asking. "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled." I mean, he comes back now and he says, look, do not fear the intimidation of those round about you. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." Peter came to realize and came to understand, yeah, we're going to be intimidated at times. And in that intimidation, we may just be quiet. And in being quiet, we're really, really not standing up for Jesus. We're not taking up that cross. We're not denying ourselves. When Jesus says, "Deny yourself, take up the cross," he's saying, look, there are responsibilities that you have as Christians, as my people. And you don't come first. And it's difficult at times. All of us have been there. And we're all going to be there again. And I'm just taking a lesson and saying, look, we need to give a second thought to our actions. We need to know that we may be intimidated. But we need to stand up, yet with gentleness and reverence. And, you know, that's the lesson I think that we need to take right now. I recognize it's so much easier to be quiet. There is such a pull by the world to make us want to be like the world and avoid the tension and avoid the friction and avoid the frustration of standing up and being counted as a friend of Jesus. The world daily cries out, "Be tolerant." That is the mantra of much of the world today. Be tolerant. Accept homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. Accept cohabiting outside of marriage. Accept abortion. It is the right of choice for a woman. Accept, accept, accept. That's what the world wants us to do. Accept the word of men. Accept the word of men. That's what the world, that's the mantra that I see every day now. When I watch news or when I hear people talk. And when you don't accept it, when you stand up, they are going to try to intimidate you. They want you and me to back down. We need to be gentle. We need to have reverence. But we need to take up our cross. We need to deny ourselves. And we need to follow Jesus. James tells us in James 4:4, "You adulterous, do you not know that the friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now I pull that out, and James says that, but what he's really telling us is that we cannot be friends of the world to the point that we reject what the Lord wants us to do. Those who have been blessed by God have resisted the temptation to follow the path of least resistance against great odds, dying for their faith even when the promise had not yet been delivered. For Christmas, one of Wanda's daughters gave me a book called I Am N. I Am N. And that N is the letter, symbol letter for the Muslims, which means you are a Christian. Now, I don't know, there's lots of stories in this book about Muslims who have stood up for Jesus Christ in the face, in Iraq, in Iran, in Assyria, in Syria. Many stories. And I don't know what their Christian faith is, but they did stand up, and many of them, you read these stories, they were beaten, their families were killed, their heads were cut off. And story after story says, I am N. I am a Christian. And I read stories like that and I wonder, what will I do in that situation? When I know that if I stand up and say, I am N, I am a Christian, and my head is going to be cut off, what will I do? I don't know. It's a hard question. But I read story after story after story in these Muslim countries where these radicals, if you just say, you know, I believe in Muhammad and I will pay the fine, your life will be saved. And yet they don't. They don't. And we live in this country. We are not persecuted like that at all. Nothing like that. And are we standing up with gentleness and reverence and denying ourselves and taking up our responsibility, our cross, and following Jesus? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a great chapter on faith. But at the end of that chapter, verses 35 through 39, very sobering when I read this. 35 through 39. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. It's happened before, and it could happen again. But we read these heroes of faith, and we read that they stood for Jesus. They denied themselves. They took up their cross. And they followed Jesus. We need to shun the course that may be popular and that comes freely without effort. And we need to adopt as our mantra, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. That needs to be our mantra. The course of least resistance that the world desires, my friends, leads downward. The course of faith that God supplies leads upward. That is our hope. That is who we are. That is what we believe. That is what we look for. And what we need to do is to understand, yes, indeed, there are two sides to every coin. On the one hand, we can, you know, pursue peace. Pursue peace like Romans 14 says. But on the other hand, There are times when what we need to do is we need to stand up for Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you yet have not named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have this opportunity to do so right now. You have an opportunity to, when the song's sung and we're standing up, you have the opportunity to come down here to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized in the waters, come in contact with the blood of Jesus, and have your sins washed away, and then start on a life that leads upward, that leads to heaven. It's not always going to be easy. Even in this country, it's not always going to be easy. We don't have to fear death, but we do have to fear intimidation. It's going to happen. And if you've been a Christian and you need the prayers of this congregation to help you through whatever circumstance you may be in, we stand ready to help you, to pray for you, to be by your side. If there's any way that we can help you, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.